morning, everybody. I'm really glad to be here. If you knew where I was from, you'd understand. Thank you. She's my workout partner at the gym. Well, actually, I work out in a different place. She with barbells and me with a fork. And so, anyway, that's worked out for both of us. And a friend of mine said the other day, he said, if I was married to Wiki, I'd be 300 pounds. I said, I'm on my way. And so we all have goals. Unintended. I see some rather sober faces, so I know that I need to straighten up here and fly right, as my mother used to say. And that would say you're cruising for a bruising. They all these sayings. It was just passed down from generation to generation. Anyway, we're here to talk today about something very significant in all of our lives, and that is the path to divine encounters. Anybody off the top of your head ever had a divine encounter? Would you just wave your hand? You think you do? You have? Oh, my goodness gracious. Well, we're on the right track. The tradition in which I was raised was a very powerful tradition. If you were a pastor or a special speaker or something of the kind. But the rest of us, you know, we hoped we were saved, and we kind of could expect a good Holy Spirit jolt about once every 6 months, maybe a couple of times a year, no more than that. And by that, we knew that we had, woo, we had church today. Oh, really? What happened? Well, I felt the power. Well, you get a hold of a naked electric wire and feel the power. But I don't know how much good it has done you. You might even have some detriment attached. But I, through the years and through trial and error, living constantly in a spiritual laboratory. What do you mean by that? Well, trial and error. You go to the manual of Scripture and you read the Scripture, and then you come back and you say, well, that didn't work. What did I miss, Lord? What ingredient was missing? What did I leave out? Because the Bible says, let God be true and every man a liar. So when he says something, it's truth. And when I miss it, it doesn't mean he's wrong. It means I missed something. And from the very beginning, he showed us through Adam and Eve's experience that he wants to visit with us. He wants us to have these encounters. He wants us to have these visits, if you will. Those are even kind of strong words. He just wants us to live with him. Kind of like husband and wife. You know, you don't have to have a slam, bam session 24/7. We'd all be in the bed. You know what I mean? I mean, you have to be able to just kind of chit-chat, you know what I'm saying? Right? Could I get a witness from the amen corner, huh? And then there's a lot of us that we are only allotted a few words every day. And about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, I have to tell Wiki, hey, whatever you're going to say, let it be essential. Because I'm almost at deficit here. And so divine encounters are what God has designed you for and wants you to acknowledge and receive. And a lot of us can say, I've never had an encounter with him. But we all have had divine encounters since we were born. It begins with creation. And if you've ever wondered in amazement at a starry night, a beautiful rainbow or a sunset or any part of his creative order. Pick up a National Geographic and you'll see stuff in there that just blows your mind. How did this happen? When you see those things, you have had a divine encounter. How do I know that? Well, the Bible said, Romans 1:24, ever since the world was created, people have seen the earth and sky. Through everything God made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, so they have no excuse for not knowing God. And then, if you've ever happened to read the Bible, you'll know that it's full of these people who have had many encounters with God. We have Abraham that spoke with angels. We have Jacob who wrestled with angels. We have Daniel who received angelic protection and was given understanding of visions that he had received. Moses had an encounter in a burning bush and his call to deliver the children of Israel. Joshua was given a call and wisdom and instruction by an angel. Paul received a visit on a road to Damascus. And then later on, when he was in a serious storm in the Mediterranean, an angel came and spoke to him and told him some good things, that they would all be saved. Peter received a vision for the Gentiles, which I'm grateful for because I'm part of that group. And John, the Apostle John, received protection from execution. And then while he was on the Isle of Patmos, he received a revelation of the end time. And then, of course, the precious Virgin Mary received an angelic and a divine encounter announcing her pregnancy and the future of her child. Some may say, well, these were for only special people that love God and serve God. But the scripture said, Genesis 41, God has revealed to Pharaoh in advance what he is about to do. So we have a wicked king that God spoke to, that he revealed his plans and purposes to. Deuteronomy 29:29, the Lord our God has secrets known to no one. We are not accountable for them, but we and our children are accountable forever for all that he has revealed to us, so that we may obey all the terms of these instructions. I will tell you that there is a special place of encounter for those who do love the Lord. Jesus said, John 14:23, all who love me will do what I say. My Father will love them, and we will come and make our home with each of them. So he is, as a good parent, as our creator, he is seeking ways. He has already provided avenues, specifics in our life. Some of us, all of us have had graces given to us. All of us. There may have been I was feeling particularly down one day. You know, I don't know if anybody here ever gets down or gets blue or gets depressed or whatever. But I was having one of those times, and I just kind of felt sorry for myself and pitiful and all that. And I said, Lord, you know, do you just see anything that's going on? Instantly, he just reminded me of my maternal grandmother who was widowed and lived alone, and she spent all of her days and evenings in prayer, sitting in her recliner. She would pray, and she said, he said to me, you are where you are because of her prayers. That was a divine encounter. Instantly, I kind of shook myself. Hey, shake that junk off. Because God is, maybe there was a grandmother in your life. Maybe there was somebody that was in your life that was a grace person, that was they were a visitation of an encounter from God. They were there. I may talk about her a little bit later, but I know that Wiki was given to me as a divine encounter. I mean, she's just been Jesus to me morning, noon, and night. And I thought you would appreciate that and at least say amen, but whatever. Wiki is my wife. That's her nickname. But she's there, and I am the most, except when I'm up here, I'm the most despicable person in the world. I am my thought life. I have to constantly be corrected. I have to constantly be, you know, I grew up with these people that I don't know how they had children because they were so holy. I just scratch my head and say, man, how did, you know, y'all ever get to that place? You know what I mean? Shocking, because, I mean, they were in vision and they're, you know, they were in Holy Ghost la-la land all of the time. And I thought, man, I must not got the Holy Spirit they got. Because I, you know, see a girl and look at her, you know what I mean? Of course, I don't lust, but I look. You know what I mean? It's just, one of my pastors said, I'd hate to be so dumb that God had to tell me to love my family. Well, I thought, there again, I've missed out on something. Because I had family that I really had to fast and pray about. I don't know if any of you have anything like that or not. In fact, if I didn't see him again in my life, that was, hey, that's wonderful. We can do that. But these encounters are here with us. And if we will be renew our sensitivity to him, we will start seeing them and be appreciative of them and know that they are there to help channel us in the ways that please him. I don't intend to be very long this morning, okay, because I'm real hungry and I want to go to lunch. I want to give you four primary ways you can have an encounter with God, if you're interested. Number one, his written word is always generally directing us and helping us. But when we're in special times of need, of stress, or whatever, he can illuminate a special verse or a special phrase out of his word and cause that to pop up in our mind or cause it to sort of be lifted off the page while we're reading. That is a divine encounter. I'm reminding you, he is saying, that I am speaking to you, that I am interested in you, that I want to help you. I want to build you up. Secondly, the Holy Spirit will communicate in different ways. I don't know why it is that when we're married, we catch on to the cues of our spouse. Hopefully you do. If you don't, you're in trouble. That are not necessarily verbal. Point of a shoe. It's a strong message. May not be attached to words. Elbow in the side. You better wake up, Billy Bob, because mama's talking. But then there are those times when, oh, I've come bouncing in the house with the greatest news, the greatest discovery in all the world. Here's what we're going to do. And I am met with this blanket of silence. What we got going on here? Well, mama's not happy with your news. And you might ought to pay attention and ask around and just say, well, I sense in the spirit here that that we're not in agreement. Can you help me out here? It's an enhancement of a relationship. So when we understand these natural human cues that go on in our life, I've had friends that, you know, I'm trying to say, don't say that. And they say, what you trying to say, Craig? They have the sensitivity of a giraffe. I mean, it's just... And that damages relationships. So if we understand these things in the natural human circumstance, why could we not understand that about the Lord? That he has many ways to speak to us, and we're bound to like one of them. Right? So one way he can do it, and this is what we're all attracted to, is visions. Boom! Shazam! Wow! Look at this. This is incredible. Whoa, Hollywood would love this. I have dreams at times that are epic. Whew. And he can speak to us through a vision. He spoke to, I mentioned it earlier, to the Apostle Peter. He goes up, he's waiting on supper. Must have seen it was going to take a while and decided I'll go have some prayer. And he's up there, he's praying, and while he's there, he has one of the deepest forms of visionary experiences that are available or that we have heard of, that we've seen in Scripture, and that is called a trance, where the natural senses are suspended and the eyes may be open, but you are seeing directly what God wants you to see. And of course, we all want to go to those conferences and those camps and those special seminars where... You know, this lady, I mean, she died and she laid out on the deck of the ship for 3 days and they took her finally to the hospital and poof, she sat up and we all want to go to that. And she tells about going to heaven and seeing, you know, everybody. But we disregard and discount the simple little things that he is saying to us, the whispers that he gives to us. And there is also the Holy Spirit can speak to us through a witness. A witness. What is a witness? A witness, well, it's when you come in and you tell mama you got great news and this is a great idea and this is what we're going to do. And she just doesn't have to say anything. She just shakes her head, affirmation. Or you're walking along, you're shopping or something. You're in the mall. You decide to do a good deed. Go with mama to the mall. You're walking along. You look at your watch, time for me to go to the truck, but she's not ready. If you're going to be a really good boy, you just need to turn around and decide to go with mama because you're not in agreement. Mama's not through shopping. And the horror of it with Wiki is that she can shop all day and buy nothing. So can you imagine that unproductiveness? All of her friends know that. Say, oh my Lord, she tried on 19 dresses and didn't buy one. Well, thank the Lord she's putting money in the bank for us. You know what I mean? I do appreciate that. But a witness, it's I start to do something, but inside I feel a hesitance. That is the Holy Spirit that is witnessing to you. Hang on. He may want you to wait a while, or he may want to give you further instruction before you jump out there on the bow of the boat. Okay? I've had these times when I get down to pray, and you know, boy, if you get to about 30 minutes or an hour, man, you are a spiritual giant. And so your mind starts patting you on the back and saying, you are a really good boy. And so when you feel that really good boy, that attaboy deal from your own mind, you say, well, I'm gonna get up, man. I'm a giant. But something hesitates. Something doesn't want you to leave them. That something is the Holy Spirit that is witnessing to you. Hang on. Wait just a little bit longer. And I can testify to you that if you will cooperate with that witness of the Spirit, that you will come through and there will be creative, wonderful things happen in your life. You will leave to see them. You don't want to say, well, man, I've been waiting here for 3 days. What do you want, Lord? No, believe that it is him that is encountering with you, that is speaking to you, and is going to give you further instruction. Listen, what goes on in the invisible world is just like building this building. There is structure to it. And When you wait on the Lord, it doesn't have to. You say, "What am I going to say to you, Lord? You want me to wait? I want you to focus on me, because while you are focusing on me, while you are in the Spirit, I am doing something." That creation is moved forward, and it may take several days, but every time you are listening, paying attention to that witness of the Spirit, then good things are happening. Okay? Then there is also the still small voice that we call. It's a whisper. The Lord whispers. You hear, you sense words. You pick up on words that He's saying. And those things are very powerful and very, very beneficial. Number three, we have people that speak to us. Pastors speak to us. Even strangers have crossed my path and say, "I don't know why I feel to tell you this, but here goes." And then friends are placed in our life. I wish I could have listened earlier in life. I remonstrated with the Lord about the hormones that He had placed in my body, which made me covet a wife, a girlfriend. And so, hey, I set out to make things happen. Well, I found a Christian girl. Yes. Check. The first one was a pastor's daughter. Hey, I'm going to be a pastor. Check. She's hardworking. Who wouldn't want that? Check. So I'm thinking, hey, praise the Lord. I've done the will of God here. This is probably the one I'm going to take to the altar. And then I'd bring her. Not funny, ladies. To the pastor. And I just felt this pastor shrink in front of me. I mean, his juices were just going away. He was shriveling in front of my eyes. And I thought, and then I, to my parents, I want you to meet my parents, you know. And my parents just kind of... And bring to my friends. There I went yet again. Bring her to my friends. And my friends just were shrinking violets. And I'm thinking, I'm getting mad. I've done my best. Christian, check. Pastor's daughter, check. Hard worker, check. I love her, check. What's going on, Lord? Thankfully, I prayed a serious prayer and asked the Lord to help me out, fix things. He did. That one was no more. Right on the heels of that, man, I don't want to waste any time. See, I'm an old man at 20. I got to get on with life here. There's loving to be done. There's children to be born. There's a ministry that's got to go forward. And this second one, boy, both of them was beautiful. Outstanding families, check. Christian, check. Second one was a pastor's daughter, check. I love her, check. Bring it to the pastor, and the pastor goes, bring it to parents. They go, I'm not a single word of affirmation or son. I think you found the one. Not a cheap. Well, the Lord got me out of that one too. And I told Him then, I must have been missing a signal or something. Because I've done my best. You the one loaded me up with all this stuff. And I'm just trying to fulfill what you put in me. And I failed. And you didn't create me to be a failure. So, I'm just going to hang out here and I'll not be trying that anymore until you put in my life what pleases you. I even had my pastor call and said, what's going on? You need to get back in circulation. I said, I appreciate your confidence there, but I'm just going to stay like I am. If the Lord doesn't do it, I'll just be like the Pope. And I meant it. Friends would try to fix me up, and I'd say, praise the Lord. God bless you. Good to see you. And walk off. I meant what I said. And wouldn't you know that a supernatural vision came to me, and I can't go into it now, but it was significant. And then all of a sudden, a wiki started, and you can't understand how far removed we were, even though we lived in the same town. I mean, folks, you have to understand, I went to conferences and camps all over the United States with a set of binoculars looking for one, a woman. And I tell you, the second thing after I found the pretty one, I wanted to look at her mother. Because that's a fearful thing in some cases. If I saw the mother, I was afraid that the daughter might go that way. And I never said a word. I just kept moving. But wouldn't you know, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit has put in my heart, I see Wiki, I'm a year ahead of her in school. We sat beside each other in algebra. It was just like, I knew who she was and howdy doody and see you later and all of this. But all of a sudden, the Spirit of God brought us together. All of a sudden, I had my pastor's stamp. All of a sudden, my mother and father are in this thing with me. How did that happen? It happened when I stopped my own agenda and became sensitive to the divine encounter that the Lord was trying to give me all along. Now you say, will he do that for me? He sure will. Maybe not the same way, but he sure will, because he is not a respecter of persons. I must hasten. I must go. The fourth thing, he has ordered that the angels are to minister for us, and they will communicate at times very directly. Now, you may not see the angel, the embodiment of the angel, but you can hear the word of the angel. I've heard my name called in the middle of the night, audibly. I've heard that. I knew that it was a call to come and pray at that time. I've been awakened. I knew that it was the angel of the Lord that was speaking. I picked up a family member who had gone through some things, and we had about a 5-hour drive to get home. And when he got in the car, he was broken. He was backslidden away from the Lord. We started driving down that long black highway, and I heard the angel of the Lord from the back say, I'm back here. And I knew exactly where those three words were spoken, what he was saying. I am back here to give you all of the support of heaven. I am on your side. I am with you. And in just a few days, I saw that precious soul that I had brought back home. I saw them in a service lift their hands and with tears surrender to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he filled them with the Holy Spirit. Those ministering spirits are very real, and every one of us have one assigned to us. And you might all want to obey the Lord, because they get a little upset with you when you don't. So, word to the wise is sufficient, right? I'm going to close with this. I want to show you how to enhance the number of opportunities for encounters by doing these things. First, humble yourself. Some of us don't even recognize that we're walking in pride and arrogance. Pride is more than a posture. Pride is revealed in decisions that we make. Adam and Eve were taken in pride because they decided to take a different direction than what the Lord had ordered for them. So I need to humble myself to hear, to be responsive, to listen to him. There have been ministry ventures that I wanted to go on. I just knew that this would be the thing for me, but my counselors, pastors, leaders would counsel me. Oh, they would do it so gently. And because they were gentle with it, I didn't think it was the Lord. Because he is such an awesome God, and because he has done such an amazing work in creation, we somehow get the idea, and because in Scripture there were so many times that people had spectacular visitations, and because of that we miss out on daily assistance because it wasn't spectacular. But every nuance, every nudge, every cue that you get that is moving you toward what is right and good and productive is supernatural. It may not be spectacular, but it is supernatural. You know, I just feel like we ought to limber up right now and everybody just say amen. It'd help you. Good. I didn't want you to fall over anything. Humble yourself. Second thing is be obedient in everything, great and small. Oh, dear, have I argued with you, Lord, about little things that shouldn't matter to you, Lord? I wish you'd get off of that and let's get on to the... You know, I'm obeying you in the big things. But those tiny things, one principle of Scripture said that the little fox spoil the vine. It's the little things that matter so much that he is, and what we do when we come to God, we always bring a briefcase full of logic. Well, Lord, after all, here, let me present my case. The whole church is allowed to do this, and you're asking me to stop? How are you being merciful? How is this your kindness? I'd just like to know. Well, dummy, if you must insist, there are things that the Lord has spoken to me that have aggravated the fire out of me. Things to put aside out of my life. Just put them aside. Lord, everybody does that. But every time I do it, I get that little Steele's check on the inside. And I started investigating that, and I realized that when I would do that, first of all, I'm in pride because I'm disobeying him. And second of all, it elevates me. I think more of myself when I'm doing that. You know what I mean? Really cool dude here. And then I'm wondering, why aren't you working in my life, Lord? Why isn't anything happening, Lord? You're being mean. You moms and dads, you know that you can't, each child is not different and does not respond to the same stimuli. Is that right? And so hopefully you will administer your training in different ways to accommodate that child. Cannot our Heavenly Father do the same for us? In fact, when he speaks to you something, the Bible said his commandments are not grievous. So whatever he's telling you to lay aside and whatever he's telling you to pick up, he is trying to fast track you to a life of blessedness. Bay City, help me out and give me some amens every now and then, all right? Three, be hungry. Be very hungry for his presence and his word. Zacchaeus wanted to see Jesus so much that he was being a short man. He climbed into a tree, ultimately invited Jesus home to his house. The lady, the immoral lady, broke the alabaster box of very expensive fragrance and poured it out on Jesus. She was hungry for him. She loved him. A lady who was called a Canaanitish lady had a child that was demonized. She came to Jesus. It was not even the time frame for Jesus to minister to her. But because of her insistence, because of her hunger, because of her need, she kept persisting. And finally, the Father signaled to Jesus, minister to her. And he said, woman, your faith is great. You've received what you've come for. Hunger is a magnet to him. Bartimaeus was blind. And he heard that Jesus was coming. And he cried out, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I don't know why the crowd was trying to hush him up, because they knew what Jesus came to do, to heal the sick. But they tried to make him stop, be quiet. And the King James Version cried all the more a great deal, Jesus! Suddenly Jesus stopped. You want to stop him? Get hungry for him. And when this entire church gets hungry for Jesus, this building will just be your chapel. Come on. Because people will be attracted where Jesus is in greater and greater manifestation. I wondered for a long time why there were three disciples, Peter, James, and John, that were in the inner circle. It's not called that in Scripture, but it's obvious that that's what it was. And I searched and I said, Lord, I know that you're not a respecter of persons, so why did you invite Peter, James, and John into areas that the other nine were not invited to? He invited Peter, James, and John to the Mount of Transfiguration. Nobody else. He invited Peter, James, and John to go further in the garden where he prayed. It was only Peter that stepped out of the boat. Lord, if it's you, bid me come to you. It was only James and John that said, Lord, those guys over there, they're not following us. Shall we call down fire from heaven? I'll tell you, the common denominator was zeal. I know of a young lady, my Lord God. You know, anything under 60 is young anymore. Thank you. And I knew from the beginning, she's been seeing this guy for probably, I don't know, 5 years, 6 years. He's got a good job, but oh, Jesus, have mercy. He's lacking some stuff. And she's really nice. She's a friend. I mean, she's a nice woman. She looks nice. And this little guy is just sadly lacking. And she told me right at the beginning. She said, he is relentlessly pursuing me. And she said, I don't like it, and I'm not comfortable, and I don't like him.
But he wouldn't stop.
He kept ringing her phone. He kept bringing her flowers. He kept on and kept on and kept on. And they're getting married in April. I want to say, have you looked at him? Have you really looked at him? He's not pretty. Most of his hair is gone. In fact, a friend of mine saw him and said, my God, he looks like Gollum. Now, y'all don't tell any of my friends, okay, because they'll figure out who I'm talking about. But she's going to marry the guy. If that can happen in the natural world, what would happen if I come before Jesus day in and day out, and several times a day, I'm hungry for you, Jesus. I am humbling myself before you. I am obeying you in everything that I know to obey you in, and I am zealously seeking you. And finally, when you've done those three, then number four, hold to the promise of encounter. Hold on to it and say, you promised, Lord, that you would come to those that love you. You would come to them. I'm asking, I know you're with me. I know you're in me, but I'm asking you for more of you. I want you to take me over completely. I want to be possessed by the Holy Spirit, not just have sporadic interactions. I want him to come. I want him to say, this is my vessel in whom I am well pleased. Oh, surely there's someone here this morning that as we stand together, come, let's stand together. I'm asking the altar team to come. Be ready here at the front. I'm asking for every person in the building. That maybe you've had a bit of a divine encounter, but you want a whole lot more because you know where he is. It's heaven there. Even in a jail cell with Jesus, it's heaven there. Do you believe that today? I wonder how many zealous, hungry people would just step out from where you are. Surely someone has been convinced. Surely someone has been activated today to just come on, step up. We're going to pray together and believe that he is going to do this. We're not going to ask you to do anything that would embarrass you or upset you or anything of the kind. Just ask you to signify your desire by just gathering here with us. And then I'm going to ask everybody that would come and just come around behind these and support them in prayer. Come on, you may feel like you're where you need to be, but you just come on. Let's come on and support these that have come here for special increase, special prayer. My loving Father, every one of these, your children, You see these that have come. You see those that were not bold enough to come. But you read our hearts and you know what we really need and what we long for. And I pray now that boldness may come upon each one of us. Grant unto us boldness by stretching forth your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done at the name of Jesus. Oh, my Lord, let a mighty river of visitation and manifestation pass through this entire assembly. Everyone, Lord, give them a special touch of grace. Those that feel cast off and cast out, those that feel forlorn and depressed and they just have no hope. I pray that today your Spirit would go forth now. Come, Holy Spirit, and minister to every soul here, I pray in your name. And Satan, we have broken your power over their life, and we command you to cease and to loose them now, and they go free to hear, to receive, to activate, to walk with you in joy and peace and righteousness, Lord. We thank you for it, and we praise you, and we give you all of the glory. We give you all of the glory and we give you all of the praise, Lord. Can we all as one begin to worship him and thank him now? Hallelujah, that he hears our prayer, that he answers the same. I love you, Lord Jesus. I thank you for ministering to us. I thank you for touching our lives. In all of these wonderful ways, Lord, we give you the glory. We give you the praise. Could you just assure someone that is nearby that you're going to be praying for them, you're going to be holding them up and supporting them in prayer? Would you do that right now? Even out of the audience, just let that one that's by you, just put your hand on their shoulder, around their waist, and let them know that you care, that you're with them, that supporting them. Glory to God. Come on, singers. Hallelujah. Let's worship the Lord in the last few moments of this meeting.